My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, the 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. We'll do it again next Thursday night. Of course, Chris and I put out a new Character Concerns podcast each Tuesday. It's aired on Saturday as well. But joining us now, the lead analyst from ArrowheadPride.com, a man that is diving straight into the draft. We get that in 2 weeks from tonight. His name is Ron Kopp. You've heard him on the station all the time. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening, Jay. Yeah, 2 weeks. I feel like a week ago, I was like, oh, man, it's kind of coming up quick. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, man, let's just get here. Let's get to the draft night already. It's about that time.
Well, it's so important for the Chiefs because you think about, you know, limited sometimes and free agents to bring in. They paid Chris Jones all that money, obviously bringing Hollywood Brown. But they've been relying on the draft, which is what teams do. I mean, yeah, when you're first building a team, you go out and get a Tyrann Mathieu. You go out and get guys like that to come into your team, or a Sammy Watkins. But now you sprinkle in some guys like Drew Tranquil once in a while to kind of improve this team, and you try to do the most of your damage through the NFL draft.
Well, right, and that's the thing. Like that, you talk about how they built through the defense the last few years so noticeably, you know, picking up the guys they have, you know, guys like Karlaftis McDuffie in the first round, obviously later round picks contributing as well. I think it's about time for the offense to get that kind of injection of young talent, right? Let's really see. I'm really excited to see Brett Veach, and I think it's set up too. I think the way they've attacked free agency this year, the way they set up the roster going into the draft, it feels like he has set himself up to really attack the offense. Whether it comes to the offensive tackle position, right? You know, they still need, you know, bodies there, even guard and center. You need depth. They don't really have any depth at those spots. Any future development? Talk about running back, right? I mean, they really do need, you know, more bodies in there, you know, another playmaker to go with, you know, Pacheco. And then obviously wide receiver, you know, is burying the lead. I would really love to see them, you know, attack that position and for the future and give Mahomes a stocking of players to choose from as he continues to grow here.
One of the big debate, probably the biggest debate for Chiefs fans in this draft, first round, you go tackle, though it's going to be a little limited late in the first round, or do you go get a receiver? Which way do you go, and who would you be targeting if you were Brett Veach?
So, yeah, I think you set it up well in terms of, like, how the offensive tackle class breaks down, right? Like, I think the way you attack this is you really just have to monitor the top of the class and see what happens. Like, you've seen those few mock drafts, right, where a guy like Olufoshanu is getting close to the 20 range, and a guy like J.C. Latham, you know, I think he should go top 10 easy, in my opinion. But if he starts slipping, man, that's where you go up and make an aggressive move to that position, because that's a position you can't find later in the draft, right? You have to make that decision early. But receiver, we've all seen it, right? We have seen, you know, teams top of the second, you know, obviously late first, you know, be able to get guys. You know, there have been some swings and misses in that range too, but there have been some really good picks. And this class just feels like the class where that range is going to be loaded with options. So it does feel like if you're going to attack offensive tackle, you might have to be aggressive and move up. Because, you know, a guy like, you know, Kingsley Sewell-Mataia from BYU, you know, he's someone that, you know, you could take at 32, right? He might be there. But, again, just there's a development path there where, you know, he may not be worth that 32 pick in the Chiefs' mind. So, again, I think offensive tackle, you got to go up. Receiver, I think you can stay steady there if you want to attack at day one.
Okay, so if you're the Chiefs in this situation, and let's say a team wants to trade back in the first round, get that 32nd pick, get ahead of the curve for Friday night's second round action. Do you take something like 33, 34, 35? Because there are some viable trade partners from the NFC, especially early on in the second round. Or do you make that move, or do you panic and move up to like the Cardinals at 27 to get the receiver you want? Or are you settling at 32 for receiver? Or are you making that huge jump like up to 17 for Jacksonville, which Chad Ryder, we had him on earlier, made that jump to get Xavier Worthy?
Ooh, okay. You know, that's the thing. Like I said, you can sit in that range. When I say aggressively move up for offensive tackle, I'm talking, you know, into that, you know, teens maybe, or even 20, 21. That's where they moved up to get Trent McDuffie a few years ago, although they didn't have to move up as high, right? They were at the 32nd pick then, or they were at the 29th pick then, excuse me. But that's the thing is receiver in that range, you know, if you may have to make that small trade up. Again, Buffalo at 28, I mean, if you want a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. or A.D. Mitchell, again, Brian Thomas, you know, he may not fall that far, although you see him a few times there. Each of them would be ideal fits for Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, I imagine they are, you know, that they are targeting those two specifically, one of those two, I should say. I just feel like both their ability to win deep is just something Josh Allen is really, you know, thrives on, right? He really wants to target those kind of guys. And so if you want a guy like that, you might have to get in front of them. But I would say if they want, you know, more of a, you know, a speed, you know, quick route runner, you know, someone that's going to create separation quickly, you know, be a yak player. I don't think you may have to trade up. A guy like Ladd McConkey, you know, is obviously going to be in that range. You know, Xavier Worthy, I would imagine, but that's the thing. His speed is definitely something to think about. But, you know, a guy like Xavier Leggett too, Troy Franklin, they have route speed, they have play speed that, you know, is intriguing. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're going for more of just the you know, and that's what they value, right? That's the thing. Like, I like a guy like A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr., but, you know, they really do value that ability to you know, quickly, you know, win, you know, take the ball quickly, you know, break a tackle real quick, you know, or I should say force a missed tackle, right? They really value that in their skilled player, skill position players. So that's where it does feel like a guy like maybe like a Ladd McConkey does make a lot of sense for them. And I feel like he could definitely be in that 32 range. Or again, if they do want to trade back, like you were saying, there could be some value there and they could still get their guy.
I think over the next couple weeks, you're going to see a lot more people mocking cornerbacks to the Chiefs at 32. I don't know where you are about that. Me and Bink have been pretty resolute that that's a no from us. Where do you stand on the Chiefs? Like, unless, and I'm just talking about a guy like who would naturally be there. Not like if, like,
right,
Cooper DeJean decide, you know, fell and just plummeted down to 32. Obviously, at that point, like, that's a value pick you make. But, like, let's say someone who's naturally there, like maybe a Wiggins, maybe a Melton. Like, if those guys are in that role, like, do you think that's an avenue that the Chiefs go, or do you kind of feel like some of these national guys are reaching a little bit?
No, they could, man. They absolutely could. Because I wouldn't necessarily be happy about it either. I'm excited for an offensive, you know, just an influx, man. This the offensive side of the ball really needs it. And you know, a day one pick would be nice. It's at one of these positions we've been talking about. But again, I mean, if the offensive tackle class falls a certain way, and you just don't like the value of the guys that are left in your range, and we've seen them struggle to be able to have trade partners, right? You know, the teams don't want to make trades with the Chiefs and give them, you know, the guy they want. So if they do want to move up for someone, it might even be tough in that instance. And if they just get stuck to a standpoint, that's almost kind of what happened last year, right? With Felix Anudike Uzomah. I mean, a little bit, you know, they were kind of looking for a receiver. They were kind of looking, you know, Anton Harrison was the rumored guy they were thinking about.
Yeah,
and he got selected at 27. They're, you know, they just kind of said, look, we'll just get a guy that we know is going to fit our system. And, you know, a guy like I say like a Kool-Aid McKinstry would fit that bill too. You know, Nate Wiggins. But again, I really want them to attack the offensive side of the ball. So it just feels like, you know, again, if the board falls a certain way, and again, they feel like there's a lot of value receiver in day two, because there absolutely is, right? We all, you know, even round three. There's a lot of value there, so they could maybe, you know, talk themselves into waiting on receiver. That's where it kind of plays into it. But I would really hope they can find a way to attack the offensive side of the ball with a day one pick.
Out of the seven picks, Ron, how many pass catchers are you coming away with? And you throw a tight end in there as well, like a mid-round tight end direction, two wide receivers. How many? I'm going three pass catchers in this year's draft. One tight end, two wide receivers.
And I've got two.
Yeah, well, I am sleeping on tight end. I will tell you that. I definitely they are bringing in a lot of tight ends. They brought in some of the best in the class, or just some towards the top of the class. You know, Theo Johnson, Ben Sinnott, Jatavion Sanders have all had 30 visits with the Chiefs. And a guy like Ben Sinnott from K-State definitely is intriguing to me. I'm not gonna lie, that guy, the way he can move, down the field, in his routes, the way he can run a route, he's intriguing to me for sure, and I'm glad they're looking at him. I would tell you I would probably go with 3-2 because I am sleeping on tight end, but I do think it makes sense that they take one. I think Irv Smith was really just insurance, right? They're not banking on him, being part of the roster unless obviously the tight end doesn't fall the way they do. But I really do think they'll double up on receiver. I'm confident in that, just because even if it's obviously a higher pick like day one or day two, I imagine they're going to give, just another a guy later in the draft, too, just because this receiver position needs, just more competition, really, straight up. Just weed them out. Just weed out, what's not working. And I think they really need to do that. So double up, definitely get some good just young talent in there.
One position, and you've already brought this up, that I think they really need to try to address is guard. Because I think Joe Tooney and Trey Smith are for sure Joe Tooney, but probably Trey Smith, probably playing their last years in Kansas City. How important do you think that is for them to address? And do you try to just get two guards this year, or do you go one this year, one next year?
Yeah, no, it's huge. I am big on guard day two. Even round two, I would say there are some intriguing options. In terms of I'm a big Christian Mahogany guy from Boston College. I know he's not necessarily, that's the thing. He has a better athletic testing number than I realized he would have. When you watch him, he's maybe more of a traditional, road grader guard. But man, he put up a good athletic testing number where you're confident that he can, be just a mauling dude and have some good footwork and stay in front and be a solid pass protector. Again, he's a right guard, so you're kind of maybe projecting him to take over for Trey, maybe. But he could play either side. Christian Haynes is an exciting player too. That's who I had in the second round. Yeah, I understand the Christian Haynes love, man. He's a fun dude. He brings the power with him, but he can move right. But he really can bring it all with him and put it all together. And a true guard. That's the thing. I'd love them to take a true guard, and because they just need depth anyway. Even if they. For whatever reason, they do want to solidify the line further and push it down the line. At least you're having strong depth and someone that can come in case of injury, because offensive line injuries definitely happen. This team has been through it. So, yeah, I'd love a day two guard. I think it's really important.
As far as the running game is concerned, we saw Clyde's coming back this year. J.K. Dobbins might be a guy that they bring in after the draft. They don't get who they want in the draft. That could happen. Not ruling that out. The Chiefs probably haven't ruled that out either with the J.K. Dobbins. Or do you draft somebody? The running backs are really deep when you go 5-7 in this draft. Are you making a move like a Garrido in the fourth round? You're saying, I want that Isaac Garrido. I want that speed.
That's
Chris's guy. I like him a lot too. A Cody Schrader that sits out there, maybe 6th, 7th round pick, maybe undrafted. Are you grabbing a running back in the draft?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you waiting for the undrafted running backs like a Prince like last year?
I do think there's a universe where, you know, if things fall in a certain way on day two, you know, in round three, I could see them saying, hey, you know, let's improve the offense. And the best way we can do it right now is taking one of these top running backs, like a Jalen Wright, you know, like a Bucky Irving would be an awesome fit, in my opinion. That said, I think that's kind of a lesser universe, right? And I do think there's probably the better chance they just go day three. A guy I've targeted day three recently, I need to write up for the site, is Kamani Vidal from Troy. I'm definitely a fan of him. He was a leading rusher in college football last year. But, man, he's a small dude but has good athleticism in terms of, you know, he's fast, he's quick in the open field. He's a good zone runner. But, man, that dude can pass protect, too, at under 5'8". I mean, he comes up and pops dudes. I mean, has the willingness. And that's almost – that's almost like the only skill I want to look at this year for a running back.
We had the debate on that with him and Gore and Cody Schrader.
Yeah, and I've been big on Garindo and Schrader. Those are my two guys. Schrader's big for 5'9". He's like 214. Right. He's big for 5'9".
I bet the Chiefs are definitely thinking about him just because how late he'll go too. Just having the look at him locally as well. But yeah, you could definitely see him being that pass down back and complementing what Pacheco can do well. But that's the thing is I don't think there's a they should think too hard about, you know, Pacheco being the number one guy and trying to find his complement. Like there's a chance they find a guy that's just a better overall player than Pacheco. Like no disrespect to him, but it just happens all the time in the NFL draft. You know, when you know you find running backs that pop off. So I think, you know, I do need to be careful about, just like looking for a pass down back, because depending on how the board falls, man, there could be a guy that just, you know, like a guy like Marshawn Lloyd from USC. Like if he's, I'm a big fan of him. If he's suddenly on the board somewhere, Tyrone Tracy Jr. from Purdue has been someone that I hadn't heard about most of the process, but I mean, I do understand the love for him too. So there's a few intriguing running backs and you never know. I mean, they could all of a sudden have another Pacheco type player, you know, that just pops off immediately out of this class.
Ron, you looking at any defensive line anymore in the first couple of rounds? Because obviously he's a priority when only Neil Farrell was under contract, but you bring back Turk Warden, you bring back Dottie, you bring back Mike Pennell. You know, this defensive line is coming back. Do you see it as a priority and later in the draft, maybe? Not at all. What are you working on with defensive line?
You know, it just really feels like I've always been the proponent of, like, let's do what we did with Derek Nnadi, where they drafted him day two, and he just was kind of he just kind of started at nose tackle, maybe not immediately, but in his rookie year at a time, and then just we didn't look back. And obviously there's times where he hasn't, you know, deserved to be necessarily like the all the time starter. He's had to be rotated out with guys, but I just don't get why it seems like they just want to just kick the can down the road at nose tackle, just kind of just fill it with guys. And maybe that's just the way to do it. Maybe it is a waste of a higher pick. Because, you know, before the T'Vondre Sweat news, to be honest with you, I was definitely a fan of maybe him at some point. Because he's going to be a guy that...
Yeah, we were too.
Yeah, starts next to Chris Jones for the next, you know, until the end of his contract. I mean, he's just going to be, you know... Yeah, I know, man, I know. So to answer your question, I do think the nose tackle position, you know, a more stout guy, they probably are just going to trust their vets, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they find their way into one of these, you know, kind of, you know, more of a penetrator, you know, B-gap guys like Dwayne Carter from Duke is someone I've highlighted for the site. But I mean, even if, I mean, it'd be crazy if they took Michael Hall. He'd probably go in second round. But,
I don't know if they don't draft Ohio State guys, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a version to
one.
Him.
One guy I've mocked him before to the Chiefs is Gabe Hall from Baylor. And yep. I like him as like a seventh round guy. Just take a flyer on him. He's a good three tech. I like him a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. I bet it's more of a later pick, like in that range.
Yeah.
I don't know how high Mekhi Wingo's going. I know he's kind of gotten more buzz, but yeah. I'm a huge fan of him. At one point, I thought he was more of a sleeper, but yeah, I know. I studied the top of the class. I thought we were going to be, you know, before all the free agency happened. But man, they just restocked defensive tackle, and it feels like they really may not even address it in the draft, honestly.
Ron, you're awesome. Lead analyst from ArrowheadPride.com at Ron_Kopp. That's KOP. Thanks, Ron. We're 2 weeks away, my friend.
Yes, sir. Good talking with y'all. Let's do it.
Take care, my friend. Yep,
thank you.
So, like some guys there.
Yeah.
One particular name I really liked, and I'll bring it up. It might be my – each year, Chris, you and I have our favorites. We have our favorites. Who we – it doesn't matter which round, a guy that we want on this team. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, my man, Chris and Osero, the Character Concerns crew on the 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Chris, I mean, can you go wrong with beer in pizza to watch the draft? I mean, what's your favorite draft snack?
I don't have a draft
snack. Well, you and I aren't here, so we don't want to make a mess.
I don't have a draft
snack. You don't have a draft snack?
No.
You don't have that go-to?
I just eat food. No.
Mine's been pizza and beer usually, you know?
That just sounds like something you probably eat all the and drink all the time.
It's a great draft snack, that nachos. It's,
that's probably your football snack in general. That's probably also your baseball snack, your hockey snack.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very versatile snack.
Yeah, I don't think that's specifically for the draft. I just think that's what you eat.
Being versatile is what you want to do at the landing in Liberty. I probably won't go nachos just because I don't want to sit there and munch them during our broadcast. I'll probably go foodless during that time.
Yeah, I'll eat before. I'm not going to eat during.
I don't have to go to the bathroom either. Like during the draft, I don't want to miss anything.
I mean, we got breaks. You'll be all right. But man. I'm not going to eat during the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be too much of a mess trying to eat and then talk about the draft. No, this is going to be a beforehand thing.
Reminds me when you went out with Henry and I to Llewellyn's, all those remotes.
Right.
You would eat during it.
Oh, but, yeah, because I wasn't on the air.
I know.
I was just sitting at the table.
And it drove me nuts because you're sitting there eating.
That was good. Like, that was good,
like,
too,
I was like,
man.
Damn it, Chris.
That's good. I got them wings and buffalo wings there.
And then Henry and I always wait till the end.
Yeah, y'all was jealous.
I didn't want to, but
I know you didn't want to. I know you wanted one of them wings, but yeah, I could kill it.
100%. Speaking of versatile, Ben Sennett from Kansas State made a top 30 visit to the Kansas City Chiefs. I really like this kid, Chris. I know you do too, to some extent. He's very athletic as well. He led all tight ends in the vertical at the combine, the broad jump at the combine, the three cone drill at the combine. Scored a 9.75 on his RAS, which is one of the best tight end scores ever, as far as that's concerned. Matter of fact, that kind of led the way. I can understand why the Chiefs won him, but incredible. Incredible. 9.75 RAS out of a possible 10. This ranked 29 out of 1,116 tight ends from 87 to 2024. A guy that can block, guy that can catch, guy that can run. Last year, our guy was Hunter Luebke out of North Dakota State, the fullback who wasn't drafted, but ended up making the roster, getting the touchdown.
Yeah, he played pretty well for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he played for the Dallas Cowboys. That was kind of our favorite. Again, didn't have to be a first round, second round, third round, just your favorite pick. For instance, Shamari Connor is my favorite Chiefs draft pick, even though he's in the fourth round.
You had the silly grin on your face when you saw the highlight film of Shamari Connor
Ben Sennett,
during the draft.
Ben Sennett looked like a fourth round pick at this point. I think he goes higher.
I think he probably goes third, fourth round.
I think he goes in the third. That is definite. I would not be shocked at all if the Chiefs went that direction.
I wouldn't either. I'm a big fan of him. I think that he does and we talked about him all throughout the year. He was a guy that was very high on our list for tight ends. He was the guy that right after Brock Bowers, that was the tight end we were looking at.
Him and Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah, him and Jatavion. I am certainly much more excited about him than Jatavion, because I just don't think the athleticism popped with Jatavion during the testing. So, you know, for me, it wouldn't be as excited as I would have been in like September when he was out there killing it on the field. But yeah, Sennett, yeah, he can line up everywhere. He can line up wide. They played him pretty much everywhere. There were times where he was an H-back, times where he was a traditional tight end, times where he lined up in the slot, lined up out wide, lined up as a fullback. Like, they did everything with him, and he's very athletic. He's a guy that can he's not, you know, obviously he's a tight end, so he's not super fast, but he's a guy that can go vertical. He can make those really good catches. He's got good hands. Yeah, Sennett is a guy that I really like.
7 out of 10 picks 2 years ago for the Chiefs on defense. Last year, 5 out of 7 picks on defense. They only went offense on Friday night, where they get Rashee Rice and Wanya Morris. That was their two offensive guys that had to perform. Wanya had to step in for 4 games and start for the Chiefs. And, of course, you know what Rashee Rice did for the Chiefs last year. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. 913-586-7610 is our Jay Southland Tow Service text line. You have questions, we'll address questions in the draft in the final segment at 8:45. You have any questions about the draft you'd like to talk about? We'd like that. Also, shout out E-Town, Excelsior Springs. Yes, love you all too. Definite shout out for you, but definitely get those questions in for us. In the next segment, we'll go rounds 4 through 7 in our Chiefs mock, Chris, which we're not done yet. We're not done yet. We'll put that final one out, of course, the week of the draft.
Yeah, and I think we're doing... you know, we haven't put out quite as many mocks as before, just because there's so much coming out there. There's so much movement around. And to be honest, I think we probably need to really consider trading in the next one, because
I think trades are going to be on the table.
Trades are on the table, I think. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that I think the Chiefs are really going to be in the market to trade.
I have the first round pick, which we'll consult as a team, because we're going to trade back or trade forward. It matters.
I think it's a trade forward. Because I just don't like it. I would say, like, I would be less into trading forward if they like needed a defensive tackle. You know, as we brought up last segment, we're on, you know, Tavondre Sweat was our guy in the second round. That was the guy that we were both like, yeah, second round, if you can get Tavondre at 64, you go get him. But, like, now that they have 6 defensive tackles on their roster, and I still would like to see them go get someone late on day 3.
But that's the argument. Quality or positions of need?
Yeah.
Do you take? There's 2 philosophies. Either take position of need and take the best at the position you need, or just the best overall player. That's always the debate.
Right, and I think it'd be different if the Chiefs had a lot of needs. I just don't think they do. So I think they can be a little bit – they can get a little cute, I think, in trying to be aggressive and go get a guy they really like in the first round, as opposed to, oh, we're just going to trade back and accumulate picks. Because, like, what are you accumulating picks for? You don't have a lot of needs. You went and filled out your defensive line issues that you had. You do need some offensive line depth. I think definitely you take an interior offensive line this year. But outside of that and wide receiver, I mean, maybe you go get a tackle later. I don't think you're going to go get a tackle in the first round. But, like, maybe you take one on day 2. Maybe you take one day 3. But I certainly think that you don't need to get a tackle. I know a lot of people think you do. I don't think you need to. I think Wanya is going to be the guy. But, I mean, I just feel like you can get a little cute and move up and be aggressive and go get a guy that you think could be a star at their position, especially wide receiver. And I think that would be better for the team than just accumulating a bunch of picks and then taking a bunch of, you know, essentially making a bunch of lottery picks. Like, I would much rather they go out and just get the guy that they really want, that can help them extend this dynasty for the long haul.
And I'm curious the input of Mahomes and, you know, working out receivers with Patrick Mahomes, because obviously it helped Rashee Rice last year.
Yeah.
The fact that he was working out, and Brock Bowers was down there too. We've seen the pictures, but that's probably not going to be part of the equation.
I mean, he would have to free fall in order for them to make that kind of move. And I don't see it. Maybe they do. Maybe they shock us. I'll tell you this. We will both be incredibly excited if they moved up and got Brock. Like, let's say Brock fell to 17. Like, we would both be screaming.
Then all of a sudden, it becomes
for
real,
them to go get him. Yeah, that would be real. And like we would both be screaming, "Go get Brock!" Because at that point, you've got your Kelce successor on your team. So yeah, I
pass catcher is going to help you. I mean, right. This is because Kelce's, for all intents and purposes, he's your number one.
Yes. Yeah.
And Bowers could be your number one too. He's great after the catch.
He is, and I think that is really kind of what, like I said, the Chiefs don't have a ton of needs. They obviously are going to want to hit some of these positions in the future, but the Chiefs aren't, they're not in the position they were a year ago, where they were, or even 2 years ago, where there were like a lot of obvious holes that they had to really hit, and they had to be aggressive and make some right moves. Last year on day two, they were pretty aggressive, and they traded up in both rounds. I don't know if they need to trade up aside from round one, like unless there's a guy they really like, unless they see a Rashee Rice sitting there in the middle of the round, or they see a Wanye sitting there in the middle of the round. I kind of feel like they're going to just kind of let people fall where they are.
We'll do our mock that we did rounds 4 through 7. We did rounds 1 through 3. We'll remind you of what we did there. We'll talk about 4 through 7 in your questions. 913-586-7610, Jay Southland Toast Service text line. We'll address those in the final segment of the show, but rounds 4 through 7 for the Kansas City Chiefs next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Get the one and done you want for your dog's monthly protection. NexGard Plus, a Foxalaner Moxidectin and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. All in one delicious, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus chews.
This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, 610 Sports Radio, a draft special. This is what Brett Veach said about Andy Reid and kind of the way they go about the draft process when he was on the Pat McAfee show after the Super Bowl.
Well, I think to start, just the simple fact that I really came up and I've experienced every level. I mean, I started out as coach's assistant, and then from coach's assistant, I was an office scout, a Midwest scout, a Southeast scout, a national scout, and then a kind of co-director. So on one end, I kind of, in regards to building a draft board and doing a free agency plan, I've kind of worked at every level, but I think coach has seen me work at every level, and we've been together so long. So I think that there's such a huge amount of trust and respect. And I think when coach goes into a free agency or an offseason plan, we have worked together for so long that when I come to him and let him know what me and my staff are thinking in regards to, here are the guys we're targeting with some other guys, but this is what we're thinking. And I kind of mirror that with the draft board and positions and stackings, basically trimming off all the fat for him and just giving him real information instead of watching 14 offensive linemen. Coach, take a peek at 2 or 3 of these guys. We'll probably select one of them. Here's what we're thinking. We've been together for so long now where it's more of a, I'm cool with it. And still peeking at some tape, but we're not draining everything out of him, having him watch all this tape all this time. I mean, he's really just coming in, touch base with us, get inside of our minds, see what our thinking. But Pat, I just think over the years, there's so much trust now. It's one of those things where obviously, you know, I wouldn't sit there and dial down to Coach Reid on a 3rd and 3 and say, here's what I'm thinking, Coach, let's run this. Because obviously, I mean, he's a brilliant Hall of Fame coach, and I'm nowhere ever trying to put myself in his category.
It's probably Veach kind of on the draft philosophy. Instead of you know, Andy Reid's not out there looking at every player. He watches a lot of college film. He watches a lot of college film, see what they're doing. But that makes sense. You know, Brett Veach goes to him with a handful of players. Say, well, what do you think about these guys? What do you think about these guys? I definitely think that's the way it was with Mahomes. I know people like to argue that it was a Veach or Dorsey. It was Andy Reid.
It was
Andy Reid.
Well, it was Veach, and then Andy was the – Andy makes all the decisions.
Like, Andy, for a quarterback, that's where you went.
Andy is – if it's offense, Andy has the final say. He's going to take any – he's going to take the word of the scouts. He's going to take Veach's word. He'll take Patrick Mahomes' opinion into account. Andy is going to have the final say on whoever he coaches on offense.
And they listen to each other. And Spags is a big part of it with defensive backs.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what he
cut his teeth was defensive backs. That there's a lot of leaning on Spags.
And, and defensive linemen, too.
Yeah, who fits
defensive
in your system? Too. Who should we draft that fits into what you do? Who are the guys? Versatility, too. It's a big Andy Reid thing. Versatility, either direction on offense or on defense. Chiefs, once again, 7 picks in this year's draft. Round 1, pick 32, 64 in the second round, 95 in the third, 131 in the fourth. Round 5, 159. You have the comp pick in there, the 173. And, of course, you have pick 221, pick in the seventh round, the first in the seventh round. Chris, we did our mock draft. You went wide receiver in the first round with Tez Walker. I went Christian Haynes, the guard, in round 2. You went Dominic Puni, the offensive lineman. At pick 95, round 4, Luke McCaffrey. I go Luke McCaffrey because the speed, the way he catches the ball, the way he runs the route, that was my second receiver being taken in this year's draft, and I grabbed him in the fourth round.
Yeah, you love Luke.
I do. I like some Luke. Hey, I've mocked him twice now with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you really love
him. Now, I'm cool with Luke, but one guy that's really intrigued me is Anthony Gould from Oregon State. Just like he just seems like a really awesome slot receiver type for this team.
Chiefs. I think he
would
be,
and he's really good against man coverage. And I think that's really where the Chiefs, like, he would shine with the Chiefs because the Chiefs love running mesh concept. They love running the slot receiver on these short crossing patterns. And teams a lot of times will try teams love to kind of try to defend that with a lot of more like physical man coverage. He's good against it. He's a smaller guy. He's not like super fast or anything, but he's good against man coverage. And I think that he's good after the catch. That's kind of what you need. Like, you add him to your roster now. Obviously, I think we're both in agreement that Hollywood Brown is just a one-year thing. So after that, you get your receiver in the first round. You get your slot receiver in the on the third day, and I think you've got some options there. But yeah, I'm cool with McCaffrey too. McCaffrey is a bigger wide receiver, kind of a Justin Watson type, Byron Pringle type. So he's, I think he's good for like a couple of big catches a game. I'm not sure though if he develops into like a starting receiver though.
Round 5, which direction do you go?
What's on the list? I forgot. I have it up.
You go Schrader.
Thank you. I went Cody Schrader, running back out of Mizzou. I'm a big fan of him. I raved about him after I saw Mizzou Tigers put a late comeback victory on my Florida Gators in Columbia. It hurt me a lot. But the guy I brought up before that game was Cody Schrader. I wanted to see what he did
in
person.
You went Grindo, by the way, the mock.
Yeah, I would normally go, if I had the fourth round, I would have gone Grindo. Grindo's my guy. He's my favorite running back in the draft. Aside from Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks, though, I think is a second round pick, and I'm not taking a running back in the second round. But yeah, I like Grindo, but Schrader's like right behind him. Schrader, he's little. He's only 5'9", but he's big. He's 214. He's a guy that can take some hits, but also he's it's kind of like who's old boy from Kansas State last year, running back. Got drafted by the Cowboys. Well, signed by the Cowboys. Can't remember his name. But he reminds me of him, where he's a little slippery. He'll kind of disappear behind the lineman and then just kind of reappears. He's got some jets on him, good speed.
You think of Deuce Vaughn?
Deuce Vaughn, yeah. He kind of reminds me of that, but he's bigger. He's got the size you like. And I think he's got good potential as a pass protector. He can catch passes. He's electric with the ball in his hands in open space. nowadays, all these teams are about forcing you to throw the ball short, and then we're going to come up and tackle you.
He did lead in yards per game. They all led in total yards. But
he's
yards
very
per game.
Tough to tackle because he's got size to him, even though he's not that tall. He's got some weight to him. He's got some muscle to him. He'll slip through your tackles. He's strong, and I think he could be a real force on this team.
So then it's not necessarily darts. Like, the Chiefs just don't throw darts. They look at guys that can perform. I go Jaheim Bell with that round five, that comp pick that they got. He's the little bit undersized, 6'2", tight end. Could be an H-back from Florida State. We liked Jaheim, or I did, throughout the season at tight end. He's part of a great trio with Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson they had there at Florida State, and Jaheim Bell kind of fit into what the Florida State Seminoles did. In the seventh round, pick 221, you went linebacker. In this case, you go Trevon Wallace. UK.
He's a really athletic linebacker.
We should have asked Josh Edwards about
him. Yeah. I like him a lot. He was probably as far as like testing goes at the combine, he was the second most athletic linebacker there. I got to see him at Kentucky because, you know, Kentucky plays Florida in the SEC. So, you know, you see him. He's an athlete. He pops on the screen. And, you know, the one thing. And a lot of these guys in college have this problem where, you know, they'll miss some tackles. And so that is a bit concerning, but I think he's a really good athlete. I think he could be a plus in terms of like pass coverage. And, you know, I think with the kind of coaching the Chiefs have on their defense, I think they can coach him up and he could be a good replacement level player at the linebacker position. I don't think it's a need. I think though, like, good special teamer. And if something happens with one of your guys, like it did this year, where you had Nick Bolton miss some games, Drew Tranquil missed a couple of games. You want to get a little bit more depth, because as much as I like Leo Chanel is more of a run defender, blitzer. He's not a guy.
Very underrated pass rusher.
Yeah, he's a good pass rusher. He's not a guy, though, I would want in pass coverage very much. Like, he's a first two down type of linebacker. And I think Trevon Wallace has a little bit more upside as a pass coverage linebacker. So, I would go there and just get a little bit depth on your defense there. And normally I would have taken Gabe Hall in the seventh round, but with them having six linemen on the defensive tackles on the roster right now, I just kind of feel like, you know, if you take Gabe Hall, he's probably not going to make the team, or you're going to have to cut one of these other guys, maybe a Neil Farrell. And I'm not sure if the Chiefs are going to want to do that. So,
Trevon Wallace in the seventh round. We'll do another mock for Chiefs. We have 2 weeks for the draft. 2 weeks from the night is the draft in Detroit. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty for a live broadcast on that, where you can put your picks in, see where you stand on getting the picks.
Yeah, Chris and I. You might be smarter than us. You might get it right.
Chris,
you might be better than us.
We guess on every pick. We guess which direction they're going to go. Yes. It's something we've always done, and we have fun doing it, and we guess that direction. But your questions next. Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7610. We'll address those questions for the rest of the show.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Inocero, 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. We'll do it again 6-9 next Thursday. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs will be in the studio with us.
One of our favorite guys. He was our favorite guy from last year when we had him on.
Breaks it down with Mitch Holtis.
Yeah.
They could do a great job over there. Both Mitch and Mitch. Have you ever seen Mitch's draft book? It's like,
I've never seen
it.
McMullen's
right there with him.
Yeah, he always brings a bunch of papers in when he's on with CDOT. He's got like
homework,
Yeah, he's got like a whiteboard or something that he brings in, like a little clipboard, like a whiteboard on there, and he does that. Yeah, no, Mitch is dedicated to the cause. Yeah.
Very dedicated to it. 913-586-7610 is the text line. And Basically, the one of the first questions is Dorsey was a GM for Mahomes. Yes, we know that. But
it was Veach's. Veach was the one that pointed him out to Andy and Dorsey.
Andy Reid gave
him
credit.
He's the one that gets the credit. You don't get the credit for it if you're just like, yeah, let's take him. Like, no, it was Veach. Veach is the one that gets the credit.
And also, Lee Steinberg basically said, hey, Veach was the one on the phone with us the whole night.
Veach was the one that was talking to them, that was in contact with Mahomes and his camp, and he was the one that scouted him. Yes, Veach gets the credit.
From the 913, what would you say are the top positions of need for the Chiefs? And I'm going with the obvious. It's obviously wide receiver. I think offensive line depth, you need that versatility. You lose Nick Allegretti, who stepped in and started for you in the Super Bowl. He's on to Washington at this point. That would be number two. Corner in the mid rounds, running back, I think is a need for the Chiefs. Defensive line doesn't become as big as a need now because of everything they did with bringing guys back to this roster.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think, obviously, wide receiver first round for sure. That's a must. I do think, yes, I get a guard. Get at least one guard in this draft. If you go two, I'm not going to be mad at you. But I definitely think you need at least one guard because I believe you're going to lose both of your guards at the end of this coming season. Joe Tooney's in his 30s. He's very expensive. You can save a lot of money on the cap by getting rid of him. Even though I really like him, this is just part of the business. So I think he's gone. And then I think Trey Smith.
Southeast scout, a national scout, and then a kind of co-director. So on one end, I kind of in regards to building a draft board and doing a free agency plan, I've kind of worked at every level, but I think coach has seen me work at every level and we've been together so long. So I think that there's such a huge amount of trust and respect. And I think when coach goes into a free agency or an offseason plan, we have worked together for so long that when I come to him and let him know what me and my staff are thinking in regards to here, the guys we're targeting with some other guys, but this is what we're thinking. And I kind of mirror that with the draft board and positions and stackings, basically trimming off all the fat for him and just giving him real information instead of watching 14 offensive linemen. Coach, take a peek at two or three of these guys. We'll probably select one of them. Here's what we're thinking. We've been together so far for so long now where it's more of a, I'm cool with it. And still peeking at some tape, but we're not draining everything out of him, having him watch all this tape all this time. I mean, he's really just coming in touch base with us, get inside of our minds, see what our thinking. But Pat, I just think over the years, there's so much trust now. It's one of those things where obviously, I wouldn't sit there and dial down to Coach Reed on a 3rd and 3 and say, here's what I'm thinking, coach, let's run this. Because obviously, I mean, he's a brilliant Hall of Fame coach. And I'm nowhere ever trying to put myself in his category.
It's probably Veach kind of on the draft philosophy. Instead of, Andy Reid's not out there looking at every player. He watches a lot of college film. He watches a lot of college film, see what they're doing. But that makes sense. Brett Veach goes to him with a handful of players. Say, well, what do you think about these guys? What do you think about these guys? I definitely think that's the way it was with Mahomes. I know people like to argue that it was a Veach or Dorsey. It was Andy Reid.
It was
Andy Reid.
Well, it was Veach, and then Andy was the – Andy makes all the decisions.
Like, Andy, for a quarterback, that's where you went.
Andy is – if it's offense, Andy has the final say. He's going to take the word of the scouts. He's going to take Veach's word. He'll take Patrick Mahomes' opinion into account. Andy is going to have the final say on whoever he coaches on offense.
And they listen to each other. And Spags is a big part of it with defensive backs. Cut his teeth was defensive backs. That there's a lot of leaning on Spags.
Linemen, too.
Yeah, who fits
defensive
in your system? Too. Who should we draft that fits into what you do? Who are the guys? Versatility, too. It's a big Andy Reid thing. Versatility, either direction on offense or on defense. Chiefs, once again, 7 picks in this year's draft, round 1, pick 32, 64 in the second round, 95 in the third, 131 in the fourth, round 5, 159. You have the comp pick in there, the 173. And of course, you have pick 221, pick in the seventh round, the first in the seventh round. Chris, we did our mock draft. You went wide receiver in the first round with Tez Walker. I went Christian Haynes, the guard, in round 2. You went Dominic Puney, the offensive lineman, at pick 95. Round 4, Luke McCaffrey. I go Luke McCaffrey because the speed, the way he catches the ball, the way he runs the route, that was my second receiver being taken in this year's draft, and I grabbed him in the fourth round.
Yeah, you love Luke.
I do. I like some Luke. Hey, I've blocked him twice now with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you really love
him. Now, I'm cool with Luke, but one guy that's really intrigued me is Anthony Gould from Oregon State. Just like he just seems like a really awesome slot receiver type for this
Chiefs.
Team.
I think he would be,
and he's really good against man coverage. And I think that's really where the Chiefs, like, he would shine with the Chiefs, because the Chiefs love running mesh concept. They love running the slot receiver on these short crossing patterns, and teams a lot of times teams love to kind of try to defend that with a lot of more like physical man coverage. He's good against it. He's a smaller guy. He's not like super fast or anything, but he's good against man coverage, and I think that he's good after the catch. That's kind of what you need. Like, you add him to your roster now. Obviously, I think we're both in agreement that Hollywood Brown is just a one-year thing. So after that, you get your receiver in the first round, you get your slot receiver in the on the third day, and I think you've got some options there. But yeah, I'm cool with McCaffrey too. McCaffrey is a bigger wide receiver, kind of a Justin Watson type, Byron Pringle type. So he's, I think he's good for like a couple of big catches a game. I'm not sure though if he develops into like a starting receiver though.
Round five, which direction do you go?
What's on the list? I forgot. I have it
up. You go Schrader.
Thank you. I went Cody Schrader, running back out of Mizzou. I'm a big fan of him. I raved about him after I saw Mizzou Tigers put a late comeback victory on my Florida Gators in Columbia. It hurt me a lot. But the guy I brought up before that game was Cody Schrader. I wanted to see what he did
in
person.
You went Grindo, by the way, the mock.
Yeah, I would normally go, if I had the fourth round, I would have gone Grindo. Grindo's my guy. He's my favorite running back in the draft. Aside from Jonathan Brooks, though, I think is a second-round pick, and I'm not taking a running back in the second round. But yeah, I like Grindo, but Schrader's like right behind him. Schrader, he's little. He's only 5'9", but he's big. He's 214. He's a guy that can take some hits, but also he's it's kind of like who's old boy from Kansas State last year, running back. Got drafted by the Cowboys. Well, signed by the Cowboys. Can't remember his name. But he reminds me of him, where he's a little slippery. He'll kind of disappear behind the linemen and then just kind of reappears. He's got some jets on him, good speed.
You think of Deuce Vaughn?
Deuce Vaughn, yeah. He kind of reminds me of that, but he's bigger. He's got the size you like. And I think he's got good potential as a pass protector. He can catch passes. He's electric with the ball in his hands in open space. Nowadays, all these teams are about forcing you to throw the ball short, and then we're going to come up and tackle you.
He did lead in yards per game. Yeah. They all led in total yards. But
he's very tough to tackle because he's got size to him, even though he's not that tall. He's got some weight to him. He's got some muscle to him. He'll slip through your tackles. He's strong, and I think he could be a real force on this team.
So then it's not necessarily darts. Like, the Chiefs just don't throw darts. They look at guys that could perform. I go Jaheim Bell with that round five, that comp pick that they got. He's the little bit undersized, 6'2", tight end. Could be an H-back from Florida State. We liked Jaheim, or I did, throughout the season at tight end. He's part of a great trio with Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson they had there at Florida State, and Jaheim Bell kind of fit into what the Florida State Seminoles did. In this seventh round, pick 221, you went linebacker. In this case, you go Trevon Wallace.
Trevon Wallace, he's a really athletic linebacker.
We should have asked Josh Edwards about him.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He was probably as far as like testing goes at the combine, he was the second most athletic linebacker there. I got to see him at Kentucky because, Kentucky plays Florida in the SEC. So, you see him. He's an athlete. He pops on the screen. And, the one thing – and a lot of these guys in college have this problem where, they'll miss some tackles. And so that is a bit concerning, but I think he's a really good athlete. I think he could be a plus in terms of like pass coverage. And, I think with the kind of coaching the Chiefs have on their defense, I think they can coach him up and he could be a good replacement level player at the linebacker position. I don't think it's a need. I think, though, like, good special teamer, and if something happens with one of your guys like it did this year where you had Nick Bolton miss some games, Drew Tranquil missed a couple of games, you want to get a little bit more depth because as much as I like Leo Chanel, Chanel's more of a run defender, blitzer. He's not a guy.
Very underrated pass rusher.
Yeah, he's a good pass rusher. He's not a guy, though, I would want in pass coverage very much. Like, he's a first two down type of linebacker. And I think Trevon Wallace has a little bit more upside as a pass coverage linebacker. So, I would go there and just get a little bit depth on your defense there. And normally I would have taken Gabe Hall in the seventh round, but with them having six linemen on the defensive tackles on the roster right now, I just kind of feel like, you know, if you take Gabe Hall, he's probably not going to make the team, or you're going to have to cut one of these other guys, maybe a Neil Farrell. And I'm not sure if the Chiefs are going to want to do that, so...
Trevon Wallace in the seventh round. We'll do another mock for Chiefs. We have 2 weeks for the draft. 2 weeks from the night is the draft in Detroit. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty for a live broadcast on that, where you can put your picks in, see where you stand on getting the picks.
Yeah, Chris and I. You might be smarter than us. You might get it right. Chris and I, you might be better than us.
We guess on every pick. We guess which direction they're going to go. Yes. It's something we've always done, and we have fun doing it. And we guess that direction. But your questions next. Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7610. We'll address those questions for the rest of the show.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. We'll do it again, 6 to 9 next Thursday. Maverick Mullen of the Kansas City Chiefs will be in the studio with us.
One of our favorite guys. He was our favorite guy from last year when we had him on.
Breaks it down with Mitch Holtis.
Yeah.
They could do a great job over there, both Mitch and Mitch. Have you ever seen Mitch's draft book? It's like
I've never seen.
Oh, dude,
I just know
he's like, one of the thickest bookies. Well, yeah. Mullen's right there with him.
Yeah, he always brings a bunch of papers in when he's on with CDOT. He's got
his
like
homework, man.
Yeah, he's got like a whiteboard or something that he brings in, like a little clipboard, like a whiteboard on there, and he does that. Yeah, no, Mitch is dedicated to the cause. Yeah,
very dedicated to it. 913-586-7610 is the text line, and. Basically, the one of the first questions is Dorsey was a GM for Mullen. Yes, we know that. But
it was Veach's. Veach was the one that pointed him out to Andy and Dorsey.
Andy Reid gave him credit.
He's the one that gets the credit. You don't get the credit for it if you're just like, yeah, let's take him. Like, no, it was Veach. Veach is the one that gets the credit.
And also, Lee Steinberg basically said, hey, Veach was the one on the phone with us the whole night.
Veach was the one that was talking to them, that was in contact with Mahomes and his camp, and he was the one that scouted him. Yes, Veach gets the credit.
From the 913, what would you say are the top positions of need for the Chiefs? And I'm going with the obvious. It's obviously wide receiver. I think offensive line depth, you need that versatility. You lose Nick Allegretti, who stepped in and started for you in the Super Bowl. He's on to Washington at this point. That would be number two. Corner in the mid rounds, running back, I think is a need for the Chiefs. Defensive line doesn't become as big as a need now because of everything they did with bringing guys back to this roster.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think, obviously, wide receiver first round for sure. That's a must. I do think, yes, I get a guard. Get at least one guard in this draft. If you go two, I'm not going to be mad at you. But I definitely think you need at least one guard because I believe you're going to lose both of your guards at the end of this coming season. Joe Tooney's in his 30s. He's very expensive. You can save a lot of money on the cap by getting rid of him. Even though I really like him, this is just part of the business. So I think he's gone. And then I think Trey Smith, look, people are paying guards a lot of money, man. And I don't think
guards,
the Chiefs are paying
guards. Guards ran the gamut.
I know. And it's ridiculous because I'm like, you know, you can just get one of these guys on the second or third day and they're good. So it's like, it's just weird to me how much money these guys are getting. But hey, you know, more power to you. Go out there and do your thing. I just don't think the Chiefs are in the business of paying the kind of premium contract that position holds. So I kind of feel like you get one this year, you get one next year, and then, you know, that's your play. So guard for sure. I would like a corner on day three. I would like them to get some depth there, get someone that is going to kind of be a developmental guy.
Picks, you know, like Nazi Johnson stepped in safety for the Chiefs.
And also, I would really like for them to get a running back. As like I said, Isaac Grindo is the guy I've been looking at. I'd be cool with Cody Schrader. There's a lot of options there on day three at running back. So that's where
think
I
think about
go.
Day three and how much Isaiah Pacheco, who's basically the seventh best running back.
And Gabe Hall, seventh round. Gabe Hall. I don't care how many. Gabe Hall, seventh round, man. Just go get him. I think this kid is he's a Veach guy. He's a B.J. Thompson. He's a Joshua Kando. Like, even if it doesn't work, it's a seventh round pick. But I kind of want Gabe Hall, man.
From the 913, Bink, would you draft Dale Earnhardt or Jeff Gordon for the Chiefs, obviously in their prime? It's kind of a fun question. I would go Dale Earnhardt. I know Jeff Gordon's a stud.
No, Jeff Gordon.
I'm going Intimidator, man. I'm going the Intimidator.
He didn't intimidate Jeff Gordon.
I want Dale Earnhardt intimidating people,
man. He didn't intimidate Jeff Gordon.
I want that kind of attitude. I want the Chiefs' attitude this year was all about attitude, man. Give me Earnhardt.
No, give me Gordon, because I want the guy who's nails under pressure, who's nails when he's going against the Intimidator. Like, Jeff Gordon made a career out of overtaking Dale Earnhardt at the end of his career. So, yeah, I'll take Jeff Gordon over Dale Earnhardt.
Gordon Hart with the intimidation factor on that. Yeah, the Chiefs don't have to worry about quarterback at this point. What about wide receiver? You guys, how many pass catchers would you guys get? And I think I talked about earlier, definitely in the first round. I would probably do it again in the third or fourth round, even if it's like a Ben Sennett in the third round, like a tight end, because I consider those guys pass catchers, because they are, because Chiefs run a lot of 12 and 13 personnel, or want to run 12 and 13 personnel, and guys that catch football. They think Irv Smith can be that guy. Blake Bell is obviously not going to be part of the equation. Irv Smith can catch the football. They love throwing to the tight end, but I'm going three pass catchers, and that can be a combination with the tight end. And even though they don't truly need one at this point, but still in the future, they're going to have to go that direction. I think they missed the ball last year because that was the tight end draft, because unfortunately the Bills got Dalton Kincaid. Bowers would be the perfect selection, to be honest with you, but I do like some Ben Sennett.
If Bowers falls, go get him. Do whatever you got to do. If he makes it to 17,
how you doing?
If he's there at 17, I think you go get him, man. Whatever it costs, let's go get him. I at least two. I want them to definitely get a receiver first round or Brock Bowers. And then I definitely want another receiver somewhere late day two or early day three. One guy I really like is Brendan Rice. Really like him. I think, even though I kind of think there might be some overlap with Rashee Rice as far as like skill set and role, I think he fits what they like.
And shout out Zach Croucher, who likes my guy Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, we saw him at the draft party on day two last year. We'll probably see him again in a couple weeks.
I hope we do. Don't forget, landing in Liberty, draft night. But Chris and I will be back with Matt McMullen in studio next Thursday night, the 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Chris and I put the podcast out each and every Tuesday. Download, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate it. Good night, everybody. I'll see you bright and early.
6 see you a.m. later.
Later.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.